wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see.
This is the Grace and Truth program. And now we continue these messages of the Holy Spirit of God to you through his bondservant, David Brinkman, and the song evangelist, Stan Carey.
When were you dead? The Bible says was dead and is alive, was lost and is found. These are days of great spiritual deception when Satan is cleverly using the Bible to deceive simple souls. He even presents his counterfeit salvation by those who are out to make converts. They encounter a prospect and tell them that salvation is a gift of God. Just take it and it's yours. Claim it. And if any doubts you, show them what the Bible says. Salvation is indeed the gift of God, but to whom? The Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Sin, death, our Lord. All these essentials they ignore, deceiving souls with no repentance and no surrender to Jesus as Lord. The wages of sin is death. This is my confessing myself as being dead in trespasses and in sins, guilty, lost, and helpless. As such, I turn to God in repentance, and then I am introduced to God's salvation as the free gift of his grace. But how? Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Jesus, that means he saves his people from their sins. Christ, that is, who is over all, God blessed forever. Our Lord, to whom I yield myself to obey him, then and only then, to those and only those, is this gift offered and bestowed. And even with those precious words of Romans 10:9, Satan deceives as he says, see, just confess with your mouth and believe that God raised him from the dead and you're saved. The Bible says you are, so you can be sure. But who is this one whom God raised from the dead? Earlier verses in the Bible declare, Jesus our Lord, who was delivered for our offenses and raised for our justification. In his death and agony, I confess myself the wicked, repulsive sinner who caused it all. I was the offense to God, provoking his wrath. In my repentance, I behold Jesus as the Lamb of God, bearing my sins, being made my curse. He is my Savior, and I confess him as my Lord, surrendering my will to him to obey him. It is this experience that brings God's salvation, as described in Romans 10:9. When these fail, the devil arms himself with John 5:25. The dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. This he uses with those who will not be fooled with just a say-so salvation. For they know they must have a real experience with God, a personal experience. So using that verse, the old deceiver says, now you just wait, and maybe you too will hear the voice of the Son of God. But he'll let a word slip, and that word rings in your ears, maybe. For this mysterious experience, many are doing what the devil wants them to do, wait. But God is not wanting you to wait. Hear those stirring words of Jesus Christ. Strive to enter in at the straight gate. That means to agonize as one in despair and loss becomes in real earnestness to be saved. The verse says, the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. That divine voice has all power to call one out of death into life. But that voice avails for only certain ones. Who? First, the dead. Second, that hear that voice. Does that leave you out? Once you were approached by a convert getter, his arguments charmed you. So you professed and even joined his church, gave your tithe and did church work. You tried to look like a Christian and talk like one, but you were like those beautiful artificial flowers. You had the appearance, but no life. To get at the root of your deception, I have one question. When were you dead? Search and see. Retracing your history? Not then. No, not then. You must conclude, I was never dead. Jesus Christ gives life to the dead, and this excludes you. For you were never dead. Now come with me and let us see some others. First, when were those at Ephesus dead? The Bible labels them as saved by grace. Who are saved? ye were dead in trespasses and in sins. They were as so dead they stank in their corruption as they gratified their dirty lusts and lived for the world and the devil, provoking the wrath of God by their defiant self-will. This was their death. But in repentance, they confessed it, and then God's grace and mercy went into action, and through Jesus Christ our Lord, they passed from death unto life. When was David dead? He tells us in Psalm 40, he was in that horrible pit of sin, and he sank in the miry clay of his own trespasses. He tried to deliver himself, but only sank deeper until he gave up, as helpless and hopeless. Then, as dead in trespasses and in sins, and in utter despair, he cried unto the Lord for salvation. That life-giving voice of the Son of God called him out of death. He was so delivered, he stood on the rock and sang unto the Lord the praise of his deliverer, his Savior. When was Job dead? That man who outshined all in his day and who could outtalk his miserable comforters and still declare his own self-righteousness, when was he dead? Finding himself in God's holy presence, he cries in deep despair, "Behold, I am vile. I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes." Then and there, God took over and made a new Job. Must you confess? If that's being dead, I was never dead, for I don't think myself vile. When was Isaiah dead? That proud young man who could scorn the oppressor and consign the drunkard to hell and expose the pretender as he cried down God's woe on them, on the whole crowd, while he felt himself so different. When was he dead? Isaiah tells how he is brought into the presence of God's holiness, and there he sees himself as he really is. Like John, he falls as one dead and cries out in despair, "Woe is me, for I am undone." And thrice he cries the cry of the hopeless leper, "Unclean, unclean, unclean." Isaiah was dead. Instantly, God goes into action. His iniquity is taken away and his sin purged by the sacrifice. And he hears the voice of the Lord. That dead man so lived, he was sent forth as God's messenger. When was the prodigal son dead? Stinking with the filth of the hog pen, starving with the hog's will as his diet, facing the horrible end of becoming so weak the hogs would eat the little flesh left on his bones. He was dead at his road's dead end. Did he just wait and see, as the devil wants people to do? He was in despair, and he became desperate as he decides to get out of that mess and go home to his father and confess his wickedness and cast himself on his father's mercy. It was of that dead man we read, "This thy brother was dead and is alive again and was lost and is found." The devil in truth. If you're dead, a dead person can't do anything, and salvation is not of works. So you must just wait till God decides to save you. That prodigal son was dead, but he could decide. He could return home. He could confess his sin. He could cast himself on his father's arms of mercy. And he did. Will you too do the same? How? When was I dead? As a lad, I thought I was a good little boy. And even some Christians thought I must be a Christian. Like Isaiah, I could scorn the wickedness of others and thought myself so different. It just wasn't in me to live that way. So God removed his restraining hand. I was startled to see the evil of my own heart. Vile imaginations and desires, pride that stank in God's nostrils, self-righteousness that he hated. It was really true that my heart was full of desperate wickedness. I came to the dead end of my road. That night I was dead, and I wept in despair. Then it was that Jesus, the Savior who seeks and saves the lost, called me, "Come unto me. I will save you, and I will never cast you out." The miracle happened, and I lived, and I could sing, "Oh, Jesus is mine, I know he's mine, this wonderful Jesus is mine." When did it happen? When I was dead. If you in despair and deep earnestness ask, "What can I do about this?" Set the dial, as with a radio, of your heart to tune in, not to the world with all its voices, but to the voice of the Son of God. Cry from your heart, "O thou Son of God, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth, speak to my soul." To test you, he responds as he says, For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornication, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. Thus, he reveals the inner wickedness of your heart. Will you cry, O Lord, I own up to it. My heart is truly deceitful and desperately wicked. He speaks again, as he says, to show you you are no better than the worst sinner. I tell you, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Will you beat your breast and cry, I do repent, in dust and ashes? He continues, I say unto you, ye must be born again. Will you confess, Lord Jesus, I am ruined in my sin. I need this new birth. Then comes the final blow as his voice knocks you down, saying, ye shall die in your sins. You are condemned already, dead and doomed on the road to hellfire. Like the adulterous woman, you are speechless, helpless, and hopeless. You are dead. What then can you do? David was dead in that pit of sin, but he could call on the name of the Lord, and he did, and so can you. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Call, Lord Jesus Christ, I've heard thy voice, and I confess I am dead. I am lost. I'm hell bound. I'm condemned already. Then you will hear his life-giving voice calling you. Come now, and let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow, if ye be willing. Come unto me, all ye heavy laden, and I will give you rest, soul rest. Will you respond? Lord Jesus, I will come now to thee. My sins are scarlet, and I repent of them. I am heavy laden with my load of sin. I come to thee for thy cleansing and forgiveness. Lord Jesus, save me as I cling to thee alone as my Savior. To this he responds, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone pluck them out of my hand. Amazed before such a Savior and so great a salvation, you cry, Lord Jesus, I have heard thy voice, and I will follow thee. I yield to thee to be my Lord, for me to do thy will. I bow in worship to thee as my Lord and my God. Thus, you will prove by your own personal experience that this is the hour when the dead hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear do live. Joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, and one who was dead and is alive again was lost and is found. And heavenly peace and joy will so fill your own soul, you can sing, I heard the voice of Jesus say, come unto me and rest. Lay down, thou weary one, lay down thy head upon my breast. I came to Jesus as I was, weary and worn and sad. I found in him a resting place, and he has made me glad. The living God makes his presence known and felt. I do not see him with my two eyes. I do not hear him with my two ears. I do not feel his hands on me, but in my soul, my inner being, I feel his presence. And as I call on the Lord Jesus to save me, I hear his tender response to my cry of despair. And as I look to him in faith to meet all my deep need, the Holy Spirit reveals to me the fullness of my Savior, finishing the work of salvation as he bore my sins on Calvary's cross. And then in resurrection, as he triumphed over death and Satan, and as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, he ascended to heaven. My fears all go. My faith has found its anchor for my soul, both sure and steadfast, certain beyond a doubt. In joy I cry, I am my Lord's, and he is mine forever. Jesus Christ is my Lord and my Savior. I have passed from death unto life. Praise the Lord. Amen. Neighbor, don't settle for less. This is another message of the Holy Spirit of God to you through his bondservant, David Brinkman.